Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Tonight we've got Heidi, and Heidi Griffin is one of our youth leaders. And if you weren't here this morning and you didn't know, Heidi got engaged last night to Jeremy. Heidi's pretty excited. And I think she told me she got about 2 hours sleep last night because of how excited she was. So forgive her if she's a little bit excited as she preaches the word. She's excited about preaching the word, but she's also excited to be engaged. So why don't we give Heidi a massive welcome as she comes up and shares with us tonight.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Oh, this has been like the most insane 24 hours ever. And I have not stopped shaking or hyperventilating or smiling or talking since last night. So, yes, sorry if I feel like extra nervous. I am very nervous, but yes, I will try and compose myself. How are we doing? How is everyone? Good, good. As Nick said, my name is Heidi. If you don't know me, I am a leader at Frontline, and I absolutely love it. This is my first time talking, though. So tonight I'm going to talk to you about standing up for Jesus and for our faith. I think this is a super important and actually really relevant topic at the moment, because we all know Christianity is kind of like having a hard time at the moment, copping a bit of a beating. And views of the world seem to be becoming less and less aligned with our views as Christians. I loved Peter Berry's Venn diagram of this last week when he spoke. He showed us this Venn diagram of like the way that Christian views and the world's views used to be really quite aligned, but in recent times the world's views are kind of separating themselves from how we think as Christians, our values, and they're just more and more different, opposing and, you know, differing opinions coming from the world now. So in times like these, it's really important that we stand up for what we believe in and not just go along with what everyone else is doing. So I'm just going to talk about why that's actually very important. So firstly, Jesus commanded us to stand out. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others." And that doesn't mean only here at church or when it's easy or when you feel like it or around your friends. It means all the time. Secondly, it is our responsibility as God's vessels to stand up for his name. And when we do, Jesus says we will be rewarded for our obedience. In Matthew 5:11-12, it says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." Making God's name known is the purpose for which we were created. So if us Christians aren't standing up for him, then who will? I know sometimes standing up for our faith seems easier said than done, though, but thankfully the Bible is very clear. It gives us very clear instruction when it comes to facing oppression. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." That is like the longest sentence ever. Did you all get that? I'm going to say it again. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." So there are two key points that I take from this verse, and the first one is being prepared. I think often the reason why standing up for our faith is so scary is because we're not actually ready to do it. It's so important that we know why we believe and are ready to stand our ground. If I asked you guys today, why do you believe in Jesus, do you think you would actually be able to give me like a decent answer? Sometimes I don't know if I could, honestly. In my opinion, part of being prepared involves knowing who we are standing up for. If we only know of God and don't truly have a really deep relationship with him, it's going to be so much harder to express his character and speak the truth of his word to those around us who don't believe in him. Luckily for us, though, however prepared or unprepared we are, God still promises that he will give us the words to say. Jesus says in Luke 21, verse 15, "For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict." How cool is that? That no one will be able to argue against the words that God gives us. I just think that's really cool. During times of oppression, God has not forsaken us, but he is with us in that moment. We already have the victory, which is super exciting, I think. So the second point from 1 Peter is standing up with gentleness and respect. No matter what, our motive for sharing our faith should always be love. Don't focus on being right. Don't turn it into an argument. Just lovingly and humbly share your heart for Jesus and leave it at that. Your kindness and your calmness in this situation is only going to give them a glimpse of our Father's heart, which is exactly what we want. We should be living an authentic Christian life that lets God shine through our words and our actions at all times. Matthew 7:20 says, "By our fruit we will be recognized." To non-Christians, the kind of people that we are is exactly the kind of person that they think Jesus is. So let's make sure we are actually striving to be good representatives of who Christ is. In saying all this, I think more often than not, when people are going to turn around after we have our little spiel and say, "Prove it." But when we hear this, we have to remember it's not our job to convict people and prove God is real. Only the Holy Spirit can truly do that. But something that can help in this situation is sharing personal testimony. If you tell them about how Jesus found you, what he's done in your life, maybe a miracle or something like that, what makes him feel real to you, how can they deny you of that? They can't. I struggled to think of a time in my own life that I've had to stand up for God in like major oppression. But of course the Bible has an awesome story for everything. So I'm just going to finish up. I feel like that just like flew by. Sorry if I'm talking really fast. I'm going to finish up by reading you a story from Daniel, which is in chapter 3, if you feel like following along. I'm just going to paraphrase it though, because it's quite long. And but I think it's a really good story that might inspire you the next time you're in this kind of situation. I will just say, though, the three guys' names in the story are, like, very wacky and long, and I cannot pronounce them to save my life. So I'm going to refer to them as the three Jews, okay? They're just called the three Jews from now on. Is that okay? Cool. I'm going to have some water, too, because I can't talk anymore. Excuse me. I've literally been talking nonstop. Okay. I've told the proposal story, like, 60 times already, and I'm over it. So if anyone wants to hear it at the end, we'll meet like up in that corner and I'll just say it once and then we're done. Okay, so the story though starts with a king named Nebuchadnezzar who had made a golden image, like an idol of some kind, and he commanded all of his people to worship this thing and that if they didn't, they would be thrown into his blazing furnace. What a great king, yeah? So when this big horn and some flutes and some harps and what have you went off, everyone fell to the ground to worship this image of gold. However, one of the king's astrologers spotted the three Jews, and they were not worshipping the idol. These men were brought to the very furious king, and he said to them, "Oi, if you don't get down right now and worship my golden image, I'm going to chuck you in my blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you?" And I can imagine him just doing like a little whoa. Like, that just sounds very nasty to me. But the three Jews said to the king, "King, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into your blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your hand. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold." So that made Nebuchadnezzar a little bit peeved. He had his furnace turned up 7 times hotter than usual, and his strongest soldiers bound the three Jews and chucked them into the fiery pit. And actually, it was so hot that the soldiers that threw the three men in died. So you'd think that getting chucked all the way in, you kind of have like absolutely no chance of surviving. But the king jumped up and was like, "Hey, they're just walking around there in the bottom of the furnace. And it looks like there's a fourth man in there with them. Like, I thought we only threw in three. What's going on there? It's a bit weird." So he called them back out of the fire, and they saw that the fire had not actually harmed their bodies, nor was a single hair on their head singed. Their clothes weren't burnt, and they didn't smell burnt either. Oh my goodness, I'm going to die. Hang on. I talked too fast. Sorry. Now I don't know where I am. They didn't smell burnt. That's great. Then the king said, "Praise be to the God of the three Jews who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their own lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I declare that anyone who says anything against the God of the three Jews be cut into a million pieces and the houses be turned into piles of rubble. Still a bit dark, I think. Anyway, for no other God can save in this way. It's a weird man. I just think, though, that this is so amazing to see how the obedience of these three men was able to completely change the views of this king and everyone who was there witnessing. If they had not stood up and said, no, I know my God is real, I know he will save me, and I choose to put my trust in him and obey him rather than being afraid of you or doing what everyone else is doing, then the king and his men would not have experienced God in this way and maybe have ever even known who God is. What if they had not stood up for their faith and no one else ever did? That is an entire nation that would have never known the name of Jesus. They would have never been saved. They would still be worshipping God and false gods and bowing down to this dark, nasty king. So, when you are faced with oppression, think of it as an opportunity to let someone else meet Jesus. You might be the only one who stands out against them and introduces them to that name, Jesus, in their whole entire life. It's not going to be easy or fun, and in most cases, you will be the odd one out. You'll be on your own. But God doesn't just call those good public speakers to stand up, or the popular ones, or the confident people, or the ones who have read the Bible back to front 11 times. God wants everyone to stick up for him because we love him, just like you would for your best friend. Jesus said in John 15:18, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." Jesus suffered through oppression more than we ever will, which is crazy to think. So let's just be brave and give our God the recognition he deserves. And he promises he won't let us down, which is cool. So let's just pray, guys. Thank you so much, Jesus, for the opportunity to speak today. And I just pray, Lord, that every day you will challenge us on these things. Challenge us with our preparation to give people that answer, Lord. Why do we believe in you? Why do we love you? What have you done for us, Lord? I pray that you just continue to remind us of that. And, Lord, that that we can just enter into these situations and just be fully trusting of you, God, and know that you are there for us and you won't forsake us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So now we're going to hear a couple of testimonies from our youth members. So I just want to invite up Kayla and Josh, and they're going to share something. Kayla first. Come on, Kayla.
Hi, everyone. So, just as you heard, my name's Kayla. And so, I have a little testimony on what it's like to be a Christian in a non-Christian school. So, for me, at school, maths and spelling tests were not the only kind of test that I had to sit. School life has been diverse and challenging as well. However, though at the time unwanted, these challenges have helped me grow in my faith. I started at a Lutheran primary school, where I was used to having some sort of chapel or devotion every morning. For young children, you were cool if you knew all the words to shout to the Lord and all the actions, or if you could present an entire devotion to the entire class. That simply consisted of reading the entire book of Joseph, as it was pronounced Jophus, by a fellow 9-year-old. I am now in year 11, and I go to a school that used to be Anglican in name, but now really only consists of Eucharist services every assembly, and singing of old hymns like the Servant Song. However, for 99% of our teenage students, this can be quite boring, as for most of them, this is basically the only exposure that they'll ever get into the Christian faith. It's a very ritualistic sort of approach, rather than connecting with their hearts. Thus, I get it, why they actually can't understand why I believe what I do. They don't understand why I don't swear, I don't drink, and I don't do a lot of things that most people would just see as just part of growing up. I had a picture come to mind at youth camp quite some years ago. It was a steady stream of dark-coloured fish swimming downstream, but there was a single golden fish in the shape of the Christian symbol swimming upwards against the tide. This perfectly described at the time what it felt like to be consistently at odds with my peers in terms of my beliefs. And that's only gotten more pronounced over the past few years with the current debate in redefining marriage. I began to absentmindedly draw this symbol everywhere, and people began to know me by it and started asking me, what does the weird fish mean? Which gave me an opportunity to talk about my faith. Earlier this year, my school put on the production of Godspell, a musical that is very accurately based on the Gospels. So it was almost amusing to see my peers, who before rehearsal had been scorning the name of Jesus, to now singing in rehearsal how much they love to serve the Lord. But from this experience, I had people approaching me with questions like, why did Jesus say this? And what did he mean when he did that? And once again, I had the opportunity to talk about Jesus. In one particular scene, the crucifixion of Jesus took place. And the way that it was directed by our drama teacher made it quite distressing for most of the students. Keep in mind that this is an atheist school. So more than once, these cast members would be crying backstage because of the way that this scene had impacted them. And I was quite amazed at the way that God used this, at the way God could show the same students who scorn religious practices in assembly a different side of God, a personal, beautiful, and loving God. Recently, there was a tragic death of one of my classmates. And as we all gathered in a room to come to terms with the news, I came to realize how much the people around me needed God. I remember just sitting there praying that God's peace would come over them, over the room of grieving people who didn't understand the life beyond. From that, I realized that there was one thing that set me apart from the others in that room, and that was that I had eternal hope and a reason for living my life the way that I do, for trying high in my studies and looking out for others. Whereas most students at my school stand by the scientific idea that everyone's an accident and no one's meant to be here. Yet they still strive for popularity. They still strive for recognition, good grades, while simultaneously believing that there's no ultimate meaning to any of it, which doesn't make sense to me. Finding LMC and Frontline Youth was one of the best things that could have happened to me, particularly in the first few years of high school. Consistently attending every Friday and Sunday helped me realize that I didn't have to be a perfect Christian before I could outwork my faith. I realized that God was there to be with me through the journey rather than just to shake my hand at the end of it. To know that I had an ever-growing family here, outside my school community, supporting each and every one of the kids that walked through those doors was a blessing and invaluable as I became confident in Christ. I was able to identify myself completely in Him, letting go of the constraints and expectations that society tried to place on me in my life, but no, not today. I've become used to being uncomfortable at school, but I'm so grateful to God for the opportunity that He's given me to be a light for Him, and also to gain an early insight into the unfortunate but very real mindset that is the norm amongst our society nowadays. Being surrounded by non-believers all the time has caused me to endeavour to understand what I believe and why, as I often had to explain to others. I've found that there's a fine balance between arguing for the sake of it and genuinely trying to share the love and peace that comes with a relationship with God, with those around me. And it has been important to understand the difference. In saying this, there have definitely been times where some of the things that those students have done has made me want to throw a whole book of Proverbs at them. But then I remember that God is a patient and loving God. And as it says in Matthew 5, to be an example by simply shining your light is often just enough. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Today I'm going to share my testimony about standing up for God. So it started in the count of night this year when one of my friend's fingers was hyperextended, and I got a group of guys together and we prayed for it. And so we prayed for it the whole night, and by the end, it wasn't healed. This changed the way I thought and felt towards life and made me question my faith a lot. The devil knew what was going on, and as soon as this mindset set in, he attacked me. He told me continuously that God had abandoned me and I was not worth listening to. I carried this burden of disappointment and anger into the next week. The burden was lifted off one day in Christian studies when we had a conversation time about how, about like we could ask each other questions and we would respond and kind of talk about, like discuss each question. And so today, of course, a couple of students were pretty fired up and they asked some tough questions like, if God is all powerful, then why did he create the world in 6 days? I didn't answer that question because like I was still angry, but God saw my sour attitude and he put a Bible verse in my head, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. This helped me see that even though my friend's finger wasn't healed, that I could still go on with life, and that even though it wasn't healed, I could kind of... So the next question was kind of targeting how pastors can be very, very homophobic and rude towards gays, and so God was telling me not to sit on the sidelines and stand up for my beliefs. So I shared with the class that about, like, I answered the question and I shared with the rest of the class. We're not always going to understand why God what God does in our lives, but we need to trust that his ways are higher and that we need to stand up for him no matter what the circumstances is. And the Bible verse I have is Corinthians 16:13. Be on alert, stand firm in the faith, act and be strong. Thank you.
Great job. So good to hear from some youth and also one of our leaders just about, you know, standing up for God. And that's something that whether we're in high school or whether we're in uni or whether we're in work or however old or wherever we're at in life, to be encouraged to stand up for what we believe in, to know why we believe what we believe. So let's just thank Heidi and Kayla and Josh for getting up and testifying and sharing and encouraging us.